Jesus in Matthew 5:17 said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not coming to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled." That's Jesus. And in Mark 12:29, he condenses the Ten Commandment law. He says, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." In another translation, it would say, "Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our Elohim is one Jehovah, and thou shalt love Jehovah thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment," according to Jesus. So what I see here is Jesus referring to the first four commandments as the first commandment, because he said there's only two. He said the second commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself, which deals with the last six commandments as our duty to our neighbors, our friends, and even our enemies. In other words, all human beings. But who is the Lord our God? Well, I already gave that away, and you already knew it. But in Deuteronomy 6:3, we'll see Jesus was quoting from this passage of scripture here, there in the book of Mark that we read just a little bit ago. But in Deuteronomy 6:3 and onward, we read, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as Jehovah, the Elohim of thy fathers, hath promised unto thee, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah, and thou shalt love Jehovah thy Elohim, thy God, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest down in thy house, and when you walk in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be for frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates." So who is the Lord our God? The Lord our God is Jehovah, our Elohim. Interesting, just an interesting sideline here. Moses told them, you should write these commandments about Jehovah particularly on your doorpost of your house. Well, the house that I currently live in, we purchased in 2017, and the previous owners were also Sabbath keepers and believed in the one true God, Jehovah, the Father of Christ. The lady of the house knew Hebrew quite well, and she wrote the Ten Commandments in Hebrew over the doorpost of this house, and they still remain there. So I said, the Lord our God is Jehovah, our Elohim. So what is Elohim? It's translated God most of the time in the Bible. But here we read from Strong's Concordance. It's number 430 in the Hebrew. Elohim, it's gods in the ordinary sense, but specifically used in the plural. Thus, especially with the article of the supreme God, occasionally applied by way of deference to magistrates and to sometimes as a superlative. In other words, as a superlative, as a plural of majesty. So In the King James translation of the Bible, the word Elohim was translated to quite a number of different words. In at least one place, it was translated as angels. Another place, exceeding. And of course, God or gods or godliness. Great. It's applied, sometimes it's applied to judges. Sometimes mighty. Applied to Moses a couple of times in Exodus. It was applied to angels in Psalms 8:5, the judge in Exodus 21, verses 6, and 1 Samuel 2:25, exceeding in Jonah. Anyway, there's quite a few places that it is applied. So it's a general name for people in authority. Angels, Moses, when he was working with Pharaoh, he was referred to as a god to Pharaoh. So it's not just applied to the one true God. It's also applied to false gods, as we'll see here in a little bit. I also wanted to touch on the word ikad, because where it says, where Moses said, "Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah." That word "one" is the Hebrew word. It's translated from the Hebrew word ikad. Well, there are some who say that that word ikad, translated "one," is always translated as a group, one group of several. They say this because they're trying to say that the word Jehovah is the Trinity God, that's the three gods. Well, so the word ikad, here's the Strong's translation of that. It plainly says it's a numeral, being like one, two, three, four, properly united. In this case, the numeral is one as an ordinal or first. It's really, the translation is exactly the same as the English translation of the word one. It can mean a group of several. It can. Sure, but not always. It's more commonly translated as just one. And when we're talking about a person, it's one person, literally one person. I have a study specifically on the word ikad, Deuteronomy 17:6, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is to die be put to death. At the mouth of one, that's ikad, at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. Ikad in this passage is obviously just one person. At the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. Ecclesiastes 4:8, there is one, that's ikad, that is alone, and he does not refer to more than a multiple, that's one, he hath not a second. Yea, he hath neither son nor brother, yet there is no end of all his labor. So we can see clearly that the word one is clearly just one person. And in Numbers 7, verses 3 to 82, you'll see the word ikad used obviously as a single one 84 times. I'm not gonna bore you with that. So let's go back to our study. Anyway, the word ikad, giving you the heads up, that there are those who will try to tell you that the word Jehovah is a plurality of persons, when in fact it is a very much just one person, one person. So now let's look at the first three of the Ten Commandments. This is in Exodus 20, starting with verse 1. And God, that's Elohim, spake all of these things, saying, I am Jehovah thy Elohim, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims, no other Elohim before me, none, no other gods. So here the word Elohim is used referring to false gods. not the true God. Thou shalt have no other gods, no other Elohim before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Jehovah, thy Elohim, am a jealous God. That's El. This the word God here was translated from the Hebrew word El, E-L. The definition of that is it's a shortened word, but especially refers to the Almighty, Jehovah. I am a jealous El, God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and upon the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing loving kindness unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Third commandment is in verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of Jehovah, thy Elohim, in vain. For Jehovah will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That's the first three commandments. So is the word Jehovah singular or plural? Here are four witnesses to the fact that it is singular. Deuteronomy 4:35. Unto thee it was shown that thou mightest know that Jehovah, he is God. There is none else besides him. That sounds pretty clear. Verse 39, know therefore this day, and lay it to thy heart, that Jehovah, he is Elohim, in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Isaiah 45:5. I am Jehovah. Oh, here's Jehovah speaking for himself. And there is none else besides me. There is no God. There is no Elohim. I will gird thee through, though thou hast not known me. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Isaiah 45:14. Thus saith Jehovah, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall go after thee in chains, and they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee. And there is none else. There is no God. For thus saith Jehovah that created the heavens. Here Jehovah created the heavens. And the God Elohim that formed the earth and made it, that established it and created it, not a waste, that formed it to be inhabited. I am Jehovah, and there is none else. There is Jehovah himself identifying himself as the creator, the God of the first angel's message that we saw earlier. So in the Old Testament, here we have several more mentions of Jehovah as being the creator. We'll start with the Sabbath and the fourth commandment. Here's the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath unto Jehovah thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Not even your cattle, not even your animals are to do any work on Sabbath. For in 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. He made it holy. That's one witness from the Bible of the Sabbath. Oh, by the way, I think I skipped that part at the beginning of this lesson. The Bible says, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall every word be established. That's Paul quoting from Deuteronomy 19:15. So there's two witnesses in the Bible that tell us that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. So that's why I was using the word witnesses when we were talking here about the Old Testament creator, the creator according to the Old Testament Bible. I'm giving you two witnesses. First witness I gave you was from Jehovah himself in the fourth commandment, where he said that he made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. He said, remember at the beginning of the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day. Well, that word remember is a memorial of creation. Here we go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, where creation was happening. And it says here, and the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God, Elohim, finished his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because in it he rested from all his work which Elohim had created and made. And these are the generations of the heaven and earth when they were created in that day, in the day that Jehovah Elohim made heaven and earth. Well, there's two witnesses to Jehovah being the creator, two witnesses to the holiness of the Sabbath day. And here's my opinion about that. Being a memorial of Jehovah and his created works, I would think that only Jehovah could change the nature of his hallowed, his holy, seventh-day Sabbath. However, the Bible holds no record, not even one witness, of Jehovah ever changing the seventh-day Sabbath. Nehemiah 9:6, Thou art Jehovah, even thou alone hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens, with all their host, referring to the angels, I'm pretty sure, the earth and all things that are thereon, the seas and all that is in them, and thou preservest them all. The host of heaven worships thee, and the angels worship thee. Isaiah 37:16, O Jehovah of hosts, the God, the Elohim of Israel, that sittest above the cherubim, that thou art the God, the Elohim, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Isaiah 45:18, For thus saith Jehovah that created the heavens, the God that formed the earth and made it, that established it and created it, not a waste, that formed it to be inhabited. I am Jehovah, he says, and there is none else. So there we have five witnesses that declare Jehovah to be the creator according to the Old Testament. What about the creator as declared in the New Testament? Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. John 5:19, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also do the Son likewise. Verse 30, Jesus is continuing to speak. I can of my own self do nothing, but I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And John 8:28, I can do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Well, now, why do I go through all of these texts? Well, the previous text there in Ephesians 9:3-9 said that God created all things by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is reinforcing that, saying that of himself, he can do nothing. So when God said he created all things by Jesus Christ, that makes a lot of sense. He does only as his Father taught him. Well, his Father taught him to create, and he did it. So that in itself can identify the Father of the Old New Testament as the Creator, who created all things through his Son, Jesus Christ. But there's more. Hebrews 1:1, God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers and the prophets by diverse portions and in diverse manners, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Oh, he has a Son, and hath appointed him heir of all things, by whom also he, God, the Father of his Son, made the worlds. So here we see that the Father of Christ created all things by his Son, Jesus Christ. But we have more. 1 Corinthians 8:6, this is even more direct. Yet to us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things. In other words, the creator of all things. And we unto him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and we through him. There we have, again, God the Father created all things through his Son, Jesus Christ. Related to this, I have another study of over 25 Bible verses showing that the one God is one person. That will be linked on the lesson, and you can click and go into that. The God of the first angel's message. I read this to you earlier, but we'll go over it again just real quickly. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and to every kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God. Now we know that that's Jehovah, because we've identified the God of the New Testament to be the Father of Christ, and the Father of Christ to be Jehovah. Fear Jehovah and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Revelation 7 verse 2 says, And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt not the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So the God of the angels is who seal we were talking about, who is referred to as the living God. So who is the living God? Well, in Matthew 16:16, after Jesus asked his disciples, Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed it to you. Jesus is the Son of the living God. It's his Father who has the seal that will seal his servants in their foreheads. Revelation 14:1 gives us more confirmation of that. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Well, we know the lamb to be Jesus Christ. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name. So is it any wonder that Jesus claims that his Father, Jehovah, is the only true God? We can read it here in John 17, verses 1 through 3. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes into heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, says Jesus. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, his Father, as the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Well, Jeremiah agrees. In Jeremiah 10, verse 10, we read, But Jehovah is the true God. He is the living God. We just saw the true God and the living God identified by Jesus Christ himself as his Father. Here Jeremiah says, But Jehovah is the true God. He is the living God. and an everlasting king. At his wrath, the earth trembles, and the nations are not able to abide his indignation. So here's my conclusion, as if it isn't obvious already. The Creator, the Father of Christ, the only true God, who seals the 144,000, Jehovah, the eternal, self-existent, uncreated one, himself, the source and sustainer of all, is alone entitled to supreme reverence and worship. Jehovah. The context of this study was the third angel's message, or a part of the third angel's message, where I'll go back up to the top here, where it says, here is the patience of saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. Well, to keep the commandments of God, the first great commandment that Jesus gave us is referring to the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments, where he says, where he was quoting Moses, actually, and saying, hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one, literally one Jehovah, one person. And thou shalt love Jehovah thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And he goes on and on there about how important this is. And so I'm underlining how important this is to us today in these last days. It is Jehovah, the Father of Christ, who is the one true God. Yes, Jesus is God also, but as we have seen before, and I'll show you again another day, Jesus is God in that he is the Son of God. Just like my last name is Nash, I'm a Nash because my father was a Nash. His last name, his surname was Nash. My surname is Nash. Likewise, Jesus is God because his Father gave him all things, including divinity. And so he is God, but he also has a God. We know from Hebrews 1 verse 9 that his Father not only refers to his Son as God, but also refers to himself as his Son's God. And so Jesus has a God, and Jesus himself said that a number of times. One time after his resurrection, he says, behold, I go to my Father and your Father. I ascend to my Father and your Father and to your God and my God. And he said that other times as well. So Jehovah, the Father of Christ, is the center of these first four commandments. And so if we want to keep the commandments of God, we better make sure that we know who the one true God is, Jehovah, the Father of Christ. Well, I've driven that home, that point home with you many times, and there I just did it again. The third angel's message is this is the heart of the third angel's message of those who do not receive the mark of the beast, and we do not need to worry about receiving the mark of the beast if we worship the God who provides his mark, his seal, to those who worship him. As the angel instructed us in the first angel's message, and it as Moses instructed us, as Jesus instructed us, throughout the Bible, we see much on this topic.